with you as a continuing education. I do what I can. If it turns out the Vic's blend of tea included a date rape drug, I can use that to pry open more of his clients. Outrage tends to turn off filters. You've never mentioned next of kin. Only child. Parents divorced when he was 10. Both remarried. He bounced between the mother in Tucson and the father in Atlanta until he was of age. Neither of them have seen him for over 6 years. They were both shaken, but I didn't get any sense of close family ties. So no friends or family? Not really. And from what I can tell, by his own choice. Friends and family take work. She thought of her 40-minute battle for sanity with Tico and the bag people. Fucking A, it took work. All his work was focused on himself, she added. Speaking of family, I guess you got all the gifts off to Ireland.
I did, yes. You did some work there.
I didn't shop. You helped me decide on several things, and the cops and robbers comp game for young Sean was your idea. He was an easy one. Peabody and McNabb are doing an in-and-out shuttle for Christmas to her family. You don't want to do something like that, do you?
We had Thanksgiving, and that worked well for me, having them all here.
I like having our Christmas, you and I.
I do, too.
And since I'd really like to get this case closed before that, I'd better get going.
Good pancakes, she said, leaned over and kissed him.
I'll see you tonight. We might talk about strategy for the deal you've made with Somerset. I'm trying not to think about that. She shoved up. Where's the hooch? For Dickhead.
Fourth floor gift room.
She stared at him for 10 silent seconds. We have a gift room? On a half laugh, he shook his head.
One day, darling Eve, you really should go through the entire house.
East wing, fourth floor tower.
Okay.
Since she wasn't completely sure where that was, she walked to the elevator, ordered it.
Don't bother shaking boxes, he called out. None of yours are in that location.
I don't snoop, she said as the door shut. But of course, now she wanted to.
Gift rooms, she thought. Who gave so many gifts they had to have an actual dedicated room to hold them?
The doors opened. She stepped out. Her jaw dropped.
Apparently, they did.
Shelves and counters held a colorful array of wrapped gifts with shiny elaborate bows. Gift bags in silver or gold or red or green stood like uniformed soldiers. She opened one of the doors along the wall, discovered more shelves with rigorously organized gifts not wrapped. Fancy candle sets or fancy bath sets, male, female, or unisex varieties. Boxed wine glasses, elegant picture frames, electronics, even some toys. Why the hell did she have to go shopping when she could just come up here? She found more ruthless, to the point of scary, organization with gift boxes, wrapping paper, tissue paper, ribbons, and bows. Everything as pristine as some high-end gift boutique, and all in the tall tower room, complete with a wall screen and a comp. She just bet the comp held a complete catalog of the contents of the room, down to the last inch of shiny ribbon. She grabbed one of the silver gift bags, checked the contents. Bourbon. Checked a gold one, found the scotch. Then out of curiosity, checked one of the red bags. Cognac. She found Irish whiskey in the green bags. Figured. Both impressed and intimidated, she got back in the elevator, ordered the main floor. She grabbed her coat off the newel post and decided a man who owned half the world anyway might as well have a room loaded with stuff he prepared to give away. At least she knew just where to go the next time she needed a bribe. She'd left early enough that traffic stayed light and gave her the opportunity to bypass Mira's admin, who'd give her grief for asking for a quick session.
Instead, she shot a V-mail straight to Mira's link.
I'd like a quick consult today if you can fit me in. I'm sending you the Ziegler file. Mostly, I want to be sure I've got the right handle on him. If you can't squeeze in a consult, maybe an overview profile? Vic and Killer? Appreciate it.
The first ad blimp lumbered across the sky as she hit the edges of the West Village. It announced a last-minute sale, sale, sale at the Sky Mall, running until 10 p.m. Christmas Eve. Jesus, even she wasn't so lame she waited till Christmas Eve to grab a gift. Then, amazing to her, it announced a doorbuster sale, sale, sale at the Sky Mall, beginning at 1 a.m. on December 26th. Why would people do that? What could they possibly need to buy the day after Christmas, in the middle of the night the day after? Her second thought was she believed she would self-terminate if she had to make a living in retail. She parked, noted she was about 10 minutes early. Rather than wait for Peabody, she opted to go in, get started. Ear-splitting music greeted her again, but this time with some amusement, as she recognized Mavis's voice wailing about having fun now that love was done. She spotted Lil crouched beside a puny guy who struggled sweatily through some push-ups. Eve crossed over, heard the man wheezing even over Mavis and the thump-thump of feet racing nowhere on treads. "Need a minute." Lil nodded. "Come on, Scott. Just two more. Don't you quit on me." "All right," she shouted when he collapsed in a heap. 30-second breather, then I want you to do 10 minutes on the tread. Level 5, Scott. Don't wimp out."
"Okay."
He got shakily to his feet.
"Okay, Lil,"
and staggered toward the tread. "I've got to keep an eye on him," Lil said. "He's really coming along." "Did he start out at a crawl?"
"Just about.
It's clients like Scott make this job worthwhile. He really tries. He really works." "Do you have news about Trey?"
"I've got some follow-up questions."
"This trainer of the year thing, how competitive?"
"Very. Or else what's the point?"
"I submit progress reports for all my trainers, showing the improvements of their clients. And each trainer submits 3 separate original programs they've put together. The trainer's fitness and established routines are also factored in. It's a process."
"Why?"
"Who was his main competition?"
"Hard to say for certain, but in the BB franchise, I'd go with Juice, Jacob Maddow. But then he's one of mine, so I'm biased. And there's Celine, she's right up there. She's out of our Morningside Heights location. Outside BB, I'd lean toward Rock.
He has his own gym, Bare Bones Place in Midtown, West Side. Rock Hard, it's called, and he is. But I have to say I figured Trey would grab the prize again this year. He'd worked up some fierce programs."
"Did they all know each other?"
"Sure, you tend to. Rock and Juice hang together, have for years. I'd have lost Juice to Rock Hard, but most of Juice's clients wouldn't have gone with him. They like the perks here."
"Any trouble between any of them and Ziegler?"
"Crap."
Sighing, she rubbed her orange hair. "Juice is a go-along guy, a family man. He sure wasn't a fan of Trey's, and maybe they had a few words now and again. But Juice isn't one to start trouble. I don't know Celine all that well, but I heard Trey hit on her."
"Didn't matter to him she's gay. She has tits, and that was enough for Trey to give it a shot."
"Rock hated his ever-fucking guts, but they didn't run in the same circles."
"Then why the hate?" Some time back, maybe close to a year, Trey banged Rock's sister.
They were both at some club, and she was pretty wasted. He took her home and banged her, then bragged about it. He knew she was Rock's sister.
Juice warned him to shut up, and finally I had to tell him to shut up, at least around here. I heard he and Rock squared off about it, and Trey backed down. But I don't have the details. I didn't want them. The truth is, Trey was a personal pain in my ass, but professionally, he was an asset, and it's my job to hold on to the assets around here. Okay. About Rock, I didn't think of him yesterday because it was close to a year ago, and as far as I know, those two never see each other, except maybe at the AC conference or the competition we have in New York every spring. That's it. I still need to talk to him, to the three of them. Where would I find Juice? See the guy over there bench-pressing about 150? That's Juice. Okay, thanks. He's a nice guy. He's got a wife, a kid, and another kid coming. I'll keep that in mind.
Eve moved over to the weight area, and the man currently bench-pressing more than she weighed.
Jacob Maddow?
Juice, yeah.
He continued to press, sweat slicked on his pleasant face, on his very impressive biceps. But he gave her a quick smile.
What can I do for you?
Lieutenant Dallas, NYPSD. She showed him her badge. I'd like to talk to you.
About Ziegler?
I heard yesterday when I came in. He set the bar in the safety. Slid out from under. He hit about 6 feet, Eve gauged, and most of it muscle. He wore his streaked brown hair in a stub of a tail.
We can take it in the private classroom. Nobody's in there right now, and we won't have to yell at each other.
Works for me. She spotted Peabody. 1 minute. That's my partner.
Mind if I get a drink?
He gestured toward the juice machine in the corner.
Go ahead. Get you something?
No, thanks. She signaled to Peabody, then motioned her over to the machine.
Detective Peabody, Jacob Maddow, goes by Juice.
We're going to talk in private.
It's just through here.
He led them into a room with frosted glass walls where the noise level dropped to a backbeat murmur.
I want to say I'm sorry about what happened to Ziegler, but I'm not going to lie. We weren't friends.
Why don't you tell us where you were the evening before last, from, say, 5 p.m. to 7?
Home. My day off, so we don't get a sitter. I had my kid while my wife was at work. She got home about 5. We ate about 6, I guess, and then she took Mimi up for a bath. I spent the next 2 hours putting this tricycle thing together for Mimi for Christmas. It comes cheaper unassembled, but let me tell you, it ain't worth it.
You didn't get sent to AC?
Lil would have sprung for it, but this close to Christmas, I want to be home with my family. Plus, my wife's pregnant, 7 months along.
I heard you're one of the top competitors for the next Trainer of the Year award.
I got a shot. He chugged down juice. It'd be nice, the cash prize, with another kid coming along.
Another girl, he said with a quick smile. I'm surrounded by girls.
I also heard you had some words with Ziegler over your friend Rock's sister.
Okay, sure. That was a while back, but sure.
Look, I've known Kyria since she was a kid. When this happened, she was barely legal. And okay, sowing some wild, but he didn't have any business touching that. But that was Ziegler. I know damn well he messed with her because she was Rock's. I didn't like hearing him brag about it, so I told him to knock it off, and I warned him he didn't want the shit he was spreading to get back to Rock.
And when it did, Rock did what any brother would do. He got in his face about it. And as soon as he did, Ziegler backed off. After a look of disgust for cowardice, Juice guzzled some of his drink.
"He shut up," Juice continued, "and he slunk off. He wasn't going to risk a pounding. I know he spread some shit about Rock's place, but that didn't matter. Rock Hard doesn't cater to the same kind of clients we do here, so that wasn't any skin off Rock. But that was the only way Ziegler could try to get his own back, smearing Rock's rep.
If somebody smears my rep, I'm going to want to get up in their face," Eve commented.
"It didn't matter. The guy was like a gnat buzzing. You just ignore it. The way I figured, either me or Rock would take that award next spring, and that would pay Ziegler back.
He was favored.
Not anymore."
Juice shook his head. "I know how that sounds, but I said I wasn't going to lie. I hated the son of a bitch."
Outside, Eve headed for her car. A competitor may just be a good angle here. I'll fill you in on the top three candidates I got from Lil on the way to Ziegler's apartment.
"Did you see the arms on that guy? And the pecs?"
Peabody bundled herself in the car.
"I wonder what he charges for personal training."
"You've got access to a gym right at Central," Eve reminded her.
"I don't have access to those arms."
Peabody glanced back as Eve pulled into traffic.
"Or those pecs."
Chapter 6. Eve broke the seal on the apartment door, stepped inside. It smelled of death and sweeper dust.
"Logical place for teas, the kitchen, right? Where do people keep incense?"
"There wasn't any in the bedroom, not that I remember," Peabody began. "If he uses it on off-the-book or in-home massages, maybe he has some with his gear."
"Check the gear. I'll check the kitchen."
Eve moved into the small U-shaped kitchen, gave it a quick overview. Standard auto chef, fridgey, compact oven, 3-burner range, mini dishwasher. Not that Ziegler made much use of it, she noted. Dishes, glassware piled in the sink, empty or near-empty takeout boxes scattered the counter. The sweepers had taken the lidless pizza box, but she couldn't imagine what that might tell them. In any case, the obvious conclusion was Ziegler had been too lazy for the recycler. Out of curiosity, she opened the fridgey. Energy drinks, light beer, box wine, a jug of one of those mixed fruit and veggie juices, a small container of soy milk. She checked the menu on the auto chef. A couple of whole wheat bagels, a veggie pizza, coffee, veggie hash, and tofu turkey. No tea, she noted, and turned to the short line of cupboards. Soy chips, dry cereal that looked like bark and twigs, some dehydrated berries, several bottles of vitamins and supplements, and 3 small containers of leafy substances labeled as tea. Relaxation tea, digestive tea, energy tea. She bagged them all.
"Cone incense, a variety pack."
Peabody came in with a clear case holding about a dozen colorful little pyramids.
"In his massage bag. It's a smart way to transport and store. Kind of like a small fishing tackle box. They're all labeled by scent. None of them say sex-inducing. You've got patchouli, vanilla, lavender, and so on."
"I don't think he'd label it sex-inducing. I've got 3 teas. The loose leaf stuff like in the baggie."
Eve stepped out of the kitchen bump. "We'll take another pass through the place. The sweepers wouldn't have been looking for anything like this. Then we'll talk to Seema again before we get these to the lab."
"If any of this contains some sort of date rape drug, he probably used it on her, too. I mean, why wouldn't he?"
"Yeah, I'm counting on it."
Music played at Trina's salon,
but not at the head-throbbing volume of the gym. Here it provided a bouncy bit of background. The place smelled a little too much like a meadow for Eve's taste, with a faint underpinning of chemicals. God knew what they mixed up here to slather on your hair, your face, and other parts of the anatomy. People sat in bright-colored chairs, sipping fizzy drinks, babbling away with each other, or focused on provided discs, fashion mags, beauty mags, music, while techs slathered or snipped or painted. Products lined the walls.
Farther back, thin partitions offered some privacy for whatever the hell went on behind them.
The place buzzed with voices, little tools that clipped or hummed or buffed, and chairs being lifted or lowered or reclined. A woman with a fountain of red-tipped white hair talked cheerfully on an earlink while she tapped a tattooed finger at a calendar on her screen.
"I squeezed you in, Lorinda. 2:15, New Year's Eve with Marcus. You've got his last block. Oh, don't I know it? We'll see you then. Have a wonderful Christmas."
She tapped her earpiece, beamed at Eve and Peabody.
"Good morning. How can I help you today?"
"We're looking for Seema Murtaug."
"Seema's with a client, but she's got an opening at..."
Tap, tap with the finger tattooed with a red butterfly.
1:30.
"We're not here for a service." Eve drew out her badge. The woman's lime green eyes went wide.
"Oh! Oh! You're here about..."
Her voice dropped to a whisper.
"Trey, it's awful," she said in the same hissy whisper. "Just tragic. Let me just run back and check where she is on her service."
She hopped off the stool and clicked her way to the back on the towering heels of thigh-high red boots. Eve started to speak, then noticed Peabody wasn't beside her, but had edged over to a counter to play with samples.
"Stop it," Eve ordered. "It's just sitting here."
Hurriedly, Peabody rubbed some cream over her hands. "And it smells really good." "Try for some dignity," Eve muttered as Trina swept in from the back. Unlike her receptionist, Trina wore flat-soled shoes, but Eve found it hard to deem them practical as red-nosed reindeers cavorted over them.
"Seema needs a couple minutes. She's at a critical point in the service. She can take 5 when she finishes applying the full mask. You should come back. I've got one treatment room open. We're slammed with holiday party prep, but we can use it for a few."
"Fine." Eve started back with her, grabbed Peabody by the arm to make sure her partner didn't go back to playing with samples. "You didn't mention Ziegler used persuaders on women."
"Do what?"
"You know, a little something in the tea to make a woman more agreeable to having sex." Trina stopped dead in front of a line of cushy chairs where some women had their feet in bubbly blue water. Others had them covered with green goo, and still others had a tech painting their toes.
"I knew it! I knew it! Fucker!"
"You knew, but didn't think it worth mentioning."
"I didn't know it, but I knew it. Fucker,"
she repeated, angry color rising up in her high plain cheeks as she stomped off toward a door in her reindeer booties. Inside, she paced around a padded table, past shiny silver counters holding what looked to Eve like devices of torture.
"You can't say shit like that if you don't absolutely know, but I knew in my gut."
She threw up her hands, still pacing so the red lab-style coat she wore over a black skin suit flapped.
"I told you I've had some women in my chair who'd slept with him, and some of them said how they didn't plan on it, but how they just got the urge during a session, always a home session, massage or personal training."
"Names." Now Trina stopped in her tracks.
"Come on, Dallas. My clients have to know I won't mouth off about their personal business. They have to trust me.
It's murder, Trina, and getting dosed is a hell of a motive for it.
Christ. None of my clients killed the slimy bastard.
She kicked a cabinet. A sentiment and temper reliever Eve understood.
Fine, fine. Fuck. I'll give you the names, but you gotta let me contact them first. Give them a heads up. I need to make it right with them.
No details, Trina. You can tell them the cops forced you to give their names as part of the investigation, but that's it.
Damn it. Damn it! I wish he wasn't dead so I could peel the skin off his balls! Seema. Motherfucker! He probably used something on her, too!
Even as she spoke, Seema poked her head in the door. I'm really sorry. I couldn't leave my client until I'd finished the application. She came in, closed the door behind her, then twisted her hands together.
Do you know who killed Trey?
The investigation's ongoing. Seema, do you know where Trey got his tea?
Tea? Oh, you mean the herbals. Gosh, I really don't. He bought it loose, and it came in little bags. First time I thought they were illegals, maybe Zona or something, and I was really surprised because he's so careful about what goes into his body, you know. But he said they were specialty herbals, just a nice little perk for clients before a massage or after a workout. He didn't even charge extra.
And the incense?
I don't know. He hardly ever burned it at home. It was for clients again. You know, aromatherapy.
He used at home with you?
A few times.
Did he ever make you tea?
Sure, a few times. To help me relax after a tough day. The tea and incense and a shoulder massage.
Tears shimmered.
He could be so sweet that way when he wanted to.
Out of the corner of her eye, Eve saw Trina set her teeth, turn away, and saw Peabody give her arm a rub.
Let me ask you, Seema, and I need you to be square with me. When he made the tea, lit the incense, did you have sex with him?
Well, I guess.
She frowned a little, flushed a little.
Yeah, I guess. I'd get relaxed, you know.
After a hard day, Eve continued.
So you maybe weren't feeling much like having sex until you got relaxed.
Sometimes you're on your feet for like 8 hours, hardly a break. It just can go that way. And that's good because it means people ask for you especially. But when you get home, maybe you just want to sit down, watch some screen, maybe go to bed. To sleep, I mean. A little early.
Sure, I know how it goes.
Everybody does, right?
Well, mostly.
Trey, I swear, he could want to do it twice a day every day.
So you maybe just wanted to kick back, watch some screen, and he wanted sex.
He wasn't pushy about it. If I told him I was really tired or whatever, he was okay with it.
He'd make you some tea to relax you.
Yeah, and it did. And I'd start getting in the mood after all.
Seema, I've taken a statement from one of his clients, one who wasn't in the mood either until he made her tea. Eve waited a moment to let it sink in, saw it didn't. It's pretty clear there are going to be more.
I don't understand.
We're taking the tea into the lab for testing, and I believe they'll find some form of date rape drug in the mix.
No, no, he wouldn't do that. Holy God, you're wrong. Trina?
You think about it, Seem. Think,
Trina insisted.
Did he ever make you the damn tea when you already wanted to have sex, or after you had sex, or in the morning before you both left for work, or any goddamn time you didn't have sex after drinking it?
Her eyes filled.
No, but why would he do that? Why would he do that to me? He didn't have to do that to me. I mean, sometimes you just want to sleep or just cuddle, don't you?
Sure you do, honey, sure.
Trina went over, hugged Seema close.
It's not on you, and don't you think that. It's not on you, and it's not about sex.
But
it's about him wanting to make you do something you didn't want to do so he could feel like a big man. Anybody who does that is small.
I cared about him. I thought he cared about me.
He never cared about anybody but himself.
Over Seema's head, Trina's eyes met Eve's fiercely.
And that's not on you either.
Run the names Trina gave us, Eve said as they started back to the car.
On it.
It really flattened her. Peabody pulled out her PPC to begin the runs when she got into the car.
Imagine it. Imagine finding out someone you thought cared about you, someone you lived with, slept with, slipped you a sex drug.
If he did, we're not 100% sure. I'm sure enough. Profile it, Peabody. Everything we know about the Vic. Is he the kind of guy who makes tea for his girlfriend when she's too tired for sex?
Probably not, no.
And then, coincidentally, once she drinks the tea, she's, bang, in the mood to do it after all. If that's straight tea, I'll eat the leaves dry.
It's rape.
Peabody scowled at her PPC as she worked. If we're right, and I think we are, it's rape. It's no different than holding a knife to her throat. It takes choice away.
That's exactly right.
It was bad enough when he was just an asshole.
Whatever he was, he's dead. We do the job.
We can think it's too damn bad Trina didn't get a chance to skin his balls, but we do the job.
She answered the in-dash link when it signaled, watched Mira come on screen.
She'd done something different with her hair, Eve thought. What did they call that sleek sort of curve? A bob? Why did they call it a bob? What kind of name was Bob for hair?
Eve, I've read the report you sent. I actually have a fairly light morning, so I can certainly meet with you.
Great. I've got another stop to make, but I'm not sure how long it's going to take.
If you can be here in an hour, I have time. If not, I have time a bit later this afternoon.
I'll make it in an hour, thanks.
Hey, Dr. Mira! Peabody angled over. I really like your hair.
Oh, thanks.
As women did, Mira fluffed at it.
Not too severe.
Totally no.
I wanted a change, so I'll live with it a few days.
I'll see you in an hour, Eve. I have a session about to start.
I'll be there, thanks. Eve signed off as she hunted for parking.
Why do women always want to change their hair? If they liked it one way, why change it to another way?
For fun. Or just to mix things up. You change your shoes or your jacket or whatever all the time.
They're not attached to me. So changing your hair makes it even more about you, the way I see it.
Peabody twisted a lock of hair that poked out from her cap.
I think I'm going to try something different for the holidays. I should have talked to Trina.
I shouldn't have brought it up, Eve decided, pulling into a slot. We'll take Schubert's hair to Harpo.
The queen of hair and fiber.
Yeah, her. Just give it to her. Ask her to get us the results as soon as she can. Then we'll get Dickhead to make some tea. Holiday fever had infected the lab with colored lights and a tree, twice the size of the puny reject and homicide, decorated with evidence bags, brushes, tweezers, and other sweeper tools. But the centerpiece was a fat Santa dressed like a sweeper toting a banner that read, "CSI Santa knows when you've been bad." It kind of gave Eve the creeps. But then, so did Dick Berensky. Still, she carted her gift bag toward his long counter where he sat on his rolling stool. His spidery fingers switched between two computers. He sported a half-assed goatee. That was new. The pointy triangle on his chin, the sparse hair above his upper lip, made her think of graffiti drawn inexpertly on an egg. She set the gift bag on his counter. "Merry Christmas." He paused in his work, gave her, then Peabody, a wary look before reaching into the bag. Surprise flooded his face, then delight, demonstrated by the shift in the poor excuse for a mustache when his skinny lips curved. Then, with his eyes darting left, right, he shoved the bottle back into the bag, shoved the bag into one of the drawers of his workstation. "Thanks." Eve wiggled fingers at Peabody, who lined up evidence bags on the counter.
"What's this?" Berensky demanded.
"That's what I need you to tell me. Now."
"You want me to do an analysis on all this right now?"
He swept his arm over his workstation.
"Can't you see I got work going here?"
"This is work, too. We had samples sent in already."
"Low priority."
"Now it's high priority. Start with this." She pushed the tea labeled relaxation toward him. "That might be enough for right now. If you're so busy, delegate. How long does it take to analyze some tea leaves?"
"Get in line. We'll get to it when we get to it."
Saying nothing, Eve tapped the drawer where he'd hidden the scotch. He radiated insult.
"That was a gift!"
"Yeah, and if you ever want another gift, you'll analyze this evidence." Maybe Somerset couldn't be bought, she thought, but she knew damn well Dickhead could.
"I'm doing you a favor."
He pointed one of his long, skinny fingers at her.
"Okay."
He snatched up the tea, did a fast roll to the other end of his counter, muttering all the way. Satisfied, Eve said nothing, leaned on her side of the counter. She watched him pull on thin gloves, open the evidence bag, unstop the container. He took a sniff of it, frowned.
"Chamomile and lavender shit."
He took tweezers out of a tray, transferred some of the leaves into a tube, put the tube in a slot of a small machine on the counter. He repeated the process, this time adding liquid to the tube with an eyedropper.
"Why are you doing that?" "Do I tell you how to do your job?"
Eve only shrugged as he gave her the evil eye, then went back to work. He lowered a clear lid over the tubes, ran those skinny fingers over a control panel.
The machine began to hum, and Eve, still leaning on the counter, felt it vibrate.
Curious, she pushed off the counter, intending to walk down for a closer look.
"Lieutenant Dallas! Detective Peabody!"
Dr. Garnett DeWinter, the new forensic anthropologist, swept up. She wore a hot pink lab coat over a pink and green striped dress that molded her tall, curvy body. She'd slicked her hair back into some sort of sleek twist that made her exotic eyes dominate the sharp-featured face. Her green, ice-pick heels sported tiny pink bows at the ankle straps.
"Dr. DeWinter." "Someone must be dead."
"Someone always is."
"That's true, isn't it?"
"Oh, well, it keeps us busy." "Richard, I just wanted to come down and thank you for getting that report to me so quickly this morning."
"Richard?" Eve thought.
and watched Berensky preen.
No problem, Doc. We're on the same team.
Yes, we are. She moved down, laid a hand on his shoulder, studied the computer screen along with him. Chamomile, lavender, valerian, tea, a soother.
So far.
Stuffing her hands in her pockets, no way she was touching dickhead, Eve moved down the counter to read the screen herself.
What's that?
She demanded, when a long, unpronounceable element scrolled on.
Hold on, Berensky murmured, then nodded as a second, then a third element popped up.
Those sure as hell aren't herbs. That's a rohypnol bremelanotide compound. Erotica with a twist. It's a sex drug. De Winter glanced over at Eve. The combination would stimulate the sexual drive, yes, and potentially lower inhibitions. The tea is a relaxation blend and would mask the chemicals, add to the lack of inhibition, and certainly increase sex drive.
Your Vic didn't have any of this in him, Berensky told her. I saw his tox screen and it was clean.
No, he didn't drink it. He used it on women.
What you've got here is like a super soother, and it's laced with illegals. Sort of a mild date rape drug.
Eve scorched him with a look.
Nothing's mild about rape. Don't get twisted, I ain't saying that. I'm saying the product's on the mild side. It's not like whore or rabbit, and the user's likely to feel relaxed instead of jumpy after the job's done. It don't make it legal, and it sure don't make it right. Your Vic was an asshole if he used this without telling the women what it was.
No memory loss with this, De Winter added. No wild up and downs or desperation, but compliance and escalated sexual desire. His victims, as that's just what they were, would likely have thought themselves agreeable, even pleased. Afterward, again depending on the circumstances, there may have been some regret or embarrassment.
He used these, too.
Eve gestured for Peabody to put the incense case on the counter, in combination.
I'll check them out. You want the other teas analyzed?
Yeah, do the whole lot, but I think we hit the mother load.
Appreciate the quick work, she added, and turned to go.
De Winter fell into step beside her. Eve spared her a look.
Richard.
It makes him feel special, and by making him feel special, I often get my samples and specimens moved to the head of his list. Is he a bit of a dick? De Winter said with a hint of a smile.
Absolutely. But he's also excellent at his work.
I just bribe him. Also a viable option. I wanted to say I'm looking forward to your party. Lee's bringing me.
Morris? You and Morris?
Yes and no, so don't look so appalled. We have the dead, an appreciation of music, and absolutely no interest in a relationship in common. So it's nice for both of us to have a date for your party. So, I'll see both of you then.
It is nice, Peabody said as they headed out. It's nice that Morris has someone to hang out with. He's a sociable guy.
Maybe. Eve had yet to make up her mind about De Winter. Eve pushed through the door. I want you to start on Trina's list. Start talking to these women.
Any one of them admits to drinking Ziegler's tea, give her the details and get a full statement.
Press the money angle, too. Let's find out who gave him cash and why. Get a feel for them, Peabody.
Because one of them might have killed him.
Get started. I've got to get to Central, meet with Mira. I'll tag you as soon as I'm done, catch up with you.
I've got this, Dallas. I'll be the sympathetic cop, because I do sympathize. I can usually get more that way than going in tough.
Is that the fly sugar vinegar deal?
Yeah, I guess it is.
I still don't get it, Eve said, and strode to her car. Chapter 7 Mira's admin offered silence and a frosty stare when Eve walked into Mira's outer office. Eve wondered if she should have grabbed another one of those handy gift bags, but the woman with the icy eyes tapped her inter-office link. Lieutenant Dallas is here. Of course. She tapped it again. You can go in. Thanks. Eve opened the door, walked in. Your admin's pissed, I went around her. Mira glanced up from the work on her desk, smiled a little.
She's protective. But I do have some free time this morning, and I do enjoy consulting on your cases.
She rose.
Tea?
Definitely not. But that's something I want to discuss with you.
Tea?
Mira said again, as she turned to her auto chef. Yeah, turns out Ziegler mixed a low-grade date rape drug with loose tea, brewed it up when he got the urge. Eve flipped out her notebook. A rohypnol-bremelanotide combo mixed with chamomile, lavender, and valerian. Dickhead called it erotica with a twist.
I see.
Mira programmed one cup of the flower-smelling tea she liked.
I'm not surprised to learn that.
Because?
Sit,
Mira invited, bringing her tea over to one of her pretty blue scoop chairs.
They suited her, elegant and functional. As the soft coral of her dress, the slightly bolder color of her ankle-breaking heels, the understated but excellent jewelry suited the department's top shrink and profiler.
He was a narcissist, Mira began, extremely self-focused. His choice of career and apparent skill at it provided a service to others, but put him in control of them, physically and emotionally, even spiritually, for some who consider their physical regimen a kind of religion. It also put him in the spotlight.
Yeah, I get that. Add the photos of himself in the apartment, the mirrors, the clothes, the really extensive collection of hair and body products. He could have opened his own store there. I also get some people can self-focus, can indulge themselves without being narcissists. Or rapists.
Rapists? Mira sipped her tea. Tell me about that.
One of the women who slept with him, married, a client, described the experience. She laid out Martella Schubert's statement, her suspicions, and the discovery of the tea.
He laced tea to gain this woman's, and you believe other women's, acquiescence for sex.
Tea he served them, as if a kind of romantic gesture.
Exactly. He even used it on his former live-in girlfriend when she wasn't in the mood.
He wouldn't have seen it as rape.
That doesn't change the fact.
No, but he would have seen it as a kind of seduction, setting the scene. And it again put him in control, physically and emotionally. To this man, sex was another act of being admired, a validation of his prowess, his physical appearance, his body. He gave them a service, he'd think. He gifted them with his skill. And as with his other skills, why shouldn't he be paid for it? A narcissist, a sex addict with sociopathic tendencies.
No friends, Eve added. Co-workers who could respect his skill, but only tolerated him at best. All that money in his locker.
His secret.
Banking or investing money is so ordinary, isn't it?
He was extraordinary. And why should he make an effort to be friendly with co-workers when he was so obviously superior?
Too special. Too superior to go through training and channels and get a license for sex.
Why train for something he excelled at? Be screened by some bureaucracy?
A license? Far too regimented. And it costs. Word is, and it's bearing out, he was cheap with everything but himself. He dealt in cash, cash only, unreported cash. And I think greedy enough to resort to blackmail.
Oh, absolutely. Though again, he wouldn't have considered it blackmail. The exchange of pay for a service.
Mira sipped her tea, recrossed her very fine legs.
In his mind, he deserved it all and more. I believe he'd have escalated, sex and money, as he went on. The use of the illegals certainly demonstrates his driving need to have exactly what he wanted, to control the women he selected. They not only succumbed to his allure, in his mind, but paid for the privilege. Every success would reinforce his self-belief, and he would have wanted more.
The awards, the trophies, they played in.
Reinforcing again, he was special above the rest.
You're approaching this from a different angle, Mira commented.
A profile of your victim rather than the killer.
The more I learn about him, the more it's clear pretty much anyone who knew him could have done it. Temper, payback, an argument over sex, blackmail, a competition, a client. I think the murder itself was a moment of fury, impulse. But the rest...
cold, calculated, still angry. How could you drive a knife into a dead man unless there was anger? The message left? An insult. A brutal sort of sarcasm.
A definite fuck you.
Precisely. The anger was personal and intense, but controlled. Absolute rage? You'd expect more violence. And I agree with your conclusion in your report that he knew his killer, had no fear, no time to defend. He was a very strong and fit individual.
But there were no signs of struggle, no offensive or defensive wounds on the body, just the killing blows and the post-mortem stab wound. And nothing taken?
Not that the ex-girlfriend knew. Plenty of easy money in electronics and jewelry, so not robbery, no. I can't know if the killer gave him something the ex didn't know about, then took it. Jewelry again, or more cash? But he was packing to go out of town, and let this person in the apartment, and by the evidence at the scene, let this person into the bedroom.
He was fully dressed when killed.
Dressed, yeah. The blood spatter on the sweater from the head wound. I don't think the killer came for sex, or Ziegler was looking for sex. He should have left for AC about 30 minutes after TOD and he wasn't fully packed.
Are you thinking one of the women he raped learned what he'd done?
I've got Peabody talking to a short list right now. Could be that. Could be a husband, a boyfriend. Especially since you say he wouldn't have considered it rape, wouldn't see the wrong in it.
More, the wrong in it wouldn't have mattered to him.
Right. Or it could have been a competitor, Eve added. I've got one guy I need to talk to, one of the top competitors for the stupid award.
And Ziegler had sex with his barely of age, impaired at the time, sister.
Again, I'm going to agree with you. Any one of those types could have killed him in this way at this time. That isn't a great deal of help.
It helps that I don't lean too heavy on it being a woman. The bedroom has the killing field. It leaned woman to me. The killer was about the same height, but even a shorter woman in heels would fit the bill. But the way you've profiled him, I can see him letting some annoyed guy back there while he packed. It's like another slap, isn't it? I'm busy, got places to go. You can have a couple minutes of my valuable time.
He must have been an infuriating individual. Yet he accumulated clients and short-term girlfriends. He knew how to be charming and attentive. Most narcissists can be, particularly if it gains them admiration and attention. He got plenty of both. The murder weapon. It's probably an impulse, something right at hand, but you can't miss the irony. Thanks for squeezing me in. I'd better go catch up with Peabody. Dennis and I are really looking forward to tomorrow night. It's one of the highlights of our holiday season.
Really?
You and Rourke throw a marvelous party, Eve, in your gorgeous home.
And there are always so many people there we enjoy.
I also know that while at least part of you would be thrilled never to host or attend another party in your lifetime, you'll enjoy it too. I had to make a deal with the devil and agree to help with the prep. Mira laughed. Not Rourke. Somerset. That's why you're the head shrink around here.
Yeah.
She pushed to her feet.